Let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I got two. Praise God. Okay. That clock is set right. This one is set right too. There are hours difference. I think I'll go by this one. Praise God. I am not going to be very long. By the time you sit down, you'll be getting up again. But go ahead and take a seat. Master, we thank you. Thank you for the hour, moment, time in which we live. Thank you that we're alive to you, dead to sin. Thank you that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you've given us all things pertaining to life. You've given us all things richly to enjoy. We thank you for your word. For if we did not have your word, we would not know you very well. We thank you that in the studying of your word, we see how you dealt with those of old and how you deal with us today. You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that we hold fast to. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I did say that. Praise God, you are seated. If I get started, we're going to be here for another hour. But I will say, did somebody say go ahead?
Yeah.
Ah, praise God, yeah, okay. All right. Turn with me to Isaiah. I'm going to go old version. Isaiah 53. We can't get away from this, and we can't get enough of it. It's a liberating message. Praise God. It's the word of God. Everything that Jesus went through, it wasn't because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was not because he had made a mistake. He did an oops. It was not that he deserved any of it. He willingly took this upon himself in our stead, on our behalf, to benefit and to bless us. He didn't have to, but he did. And I pray that you never get tired of hearing the message of the cross, the message of the blood, the message about Jesus Christ himself, the gospel itself, because it is as Paul said. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then also to the Greek. In it, the righteousness of God, I've left out a few words. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Hallelujah. Glory. When we look at what Jesus, how he suffered, everything that he went through, and we look at it in terms of, man, that was for my benefit. That was so I didn't have to go through it. That was so I didn't have to deal with it. That was to set me free. That was to give me liberty. We can't be like those that will say, well, you know, that happened back then, so that was for them at that time. Or it's all a made-up fairy tale. Too much has gone on to verify the truth of God's word. Amen? And for the children of God, for many, we never reached that place of Canaan land. Now, mind you, for the children of Israel under the old covenant, it was a natural physical place for them to get to. But for the people of God today, it is a spiritual place that we get to. It is a place where, yes, it manifests in the natural, but it's in the realm of the spirit that it applies most. More than us having material things, God is more interested in our spiritual liberty and freedom. The word of God comes to make us free. It comes to destroy the yoke of bondage. The children of Israel, they endured, and you've heard this before, but you'll hear it again today, because like I said, I'm not going to be very long. The children of Israel endured 430 years. Now, the 30 years, we believe, were the years that they lived in Egypt while Joseph was still alive. And Joseph, as long as he was alive, they were blessed. They lived in the land of Goshen, separate from the Egyptians. They had their own way of living, but they were experiencing the blessing and favor of God. The whole reason of them being brought to Egypt was to protect and preserve their lineage, because God knew ahead of time that a famine was going to come across the land. He knew that there was going to be 7 years of plenty where God would cause the earth to yield her increase, so much so that it would be able to cover 7 years of famine and abundantly supply for each and everyone around who was able to partake of. It was a great harvest, if you will, that lasted for another 7 years period, so that the children of Israel can reach beyond that time of the drought and the famine and enter back into abundant provision. But outside of that, there was 400 years of slavery, Egyptian bondage. Another Pharaoh came up on the scene who didn't recognize Joseph. And because he didn't recognize Joseph, obviously he didn't recognize Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac. He didn't recognize Jehovah our God. He only recognized the gods of Egypt, and he regarded the children of Israel as a threat to him. He looked at them, and the children of Israel were very fruitful. They were having kids, and I mean, they were just having kids left and right, to the point that Pharaoh became intimidated and said, if we don't do something about this, this people may decide to join up with our enemies, our adversaries, and they may come against us. So in order to stop that, let's put them in bondage. Let's put them in slavery. Let's exercise our lordship over them and keep them that way. And they kept them that way for 400 years. That's a long time. That's 10 generations biblically, if you look at it as 40 years as a generation or representing a generation. So you had 10 generations of the children of Israel coming up in Egypt, and they come up and their mindset and mentality is slavery, bondage, same routine every day, making bricks, eating whatever food they gave to them, no longer relying upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now dealing with the gods of the Egyptians. How do we know that? Because when God set them free, one of the first things they did was, because Moses was up on the mount visiting God and hearing from God, the first thing they did was made them a golden calf. Where did they learn that from? They learned that out of Egypt. And they started practicing idolatry right then and there. It went on to say, this is how perverse they were. It went on to say that they had an orgy, a party, celebrating. Now, mind you, as far as their mindset, Moses is up on the mount. They don't know what has happened to him. They don't know whether he's died or what. But Moses is up there receiving instructions from the Lord, to the point that Moses is so caught up that when God reveals to him what's going on, Moses couldn't even believe it. God is like, they have sinned. Get down. Get out of here. Moses is like, what's wrong? You know, everything is glorious now. Get down. The people have sinned. Moses didn't believe God. But when he got down there to the camp and saw what was actually going on, Moses had what we would call something like a hissy fit. Some of us probably don't recognize that kind of terminology, but some of us do. Moses had a fit. So much so, he went and grabbed that calf, beat it into powder in the water, and then made the children of Israel drink it. He was mad at them. He was mad at Aaron. It's like, how in the world could you let these people convince you to do this? And he's like, Moses, you know, they told me, you know, they didn't know what happened to you, and they brought all the gold to me, and I threw it in the fire, and that thing came out. You know, one of those kind of things. That's what came out. He lied. The scriptures plainly say that he fashioned this thing into a golden calf. That's what they learned in Egypt. These are the things that we learn in the world. And when we make that transition of coming over into the kingdom, things are totally different. And we have to, the faster we learn how to, let's say, you can call it, separate ourselves from the world unto the kingdom of God, the better off we're going to be, and the easier it's going to be, and the more blessed it's going to be. You don't want to spend all of your lifetime trying to get a breakthrough. You don't want to spend all of your lifetime trying to get this monkey off of your back or break a habit that you have no power to break. If you had the power to break it, it would have been broken by now. So because we don't have the power to break it, we come to the breaker. We come to the one who has the power and the anointing of God to destroy every yoke and remove every burden. We come to the one who, because of the fatness, the richness, the abundance of the anointing, bursts asunder everything that the world, the flesh, and the devil has put on us to keep us chained and prevent us from being who we are in Christ Jesus. God wants his people totally and completely free. No emotional hangups, no bondage. What about all of these things that happen? These things happen because we've learned from the world to just cope with it. It is absolutely insane to get a cold and resist it to the world. You go, oh, somebody's getting a cold. No, somebody's being healed. That junk is coming out of my body. Amen, in Jesus' mighty name. Oh, what do you mean? Who do you think? You don't think you're going to get a cold? That was one of the first things I learned. Resist the common cold. Pastor, do you get colds? They try and attack my body. But as surely as they try and attack my body, I start to attack it. I don't use Vicks Vapor Rub or any of those other things that you can use to help to fight it off, if you will. I start fighting it off with the word. Now, if you need some comfort, go ahead and make you some hot tea. You know, with some lemon and some honey in there, and just go ahead and pour that into your system and things like that. But as far as resisting, well, it's just the cold. Well, it's not the curse. I'm not under the curse anymore. My flesh doesn't know that, but my spirit knows that, and my soul knows it. And so we bring our body into alignment, and we start to resist sickness. But the doctor says you have it. But Jesus says, by his stripes I am healed. Glory. I like Jesus' remedy better. Yes. Amen. Amen. And so it's like we have to train ourselves because we're conditioned to accept a whole lot of junk that Jesus says, you don't have to accept that no more. Well, this is how we were raised. Jesus is like, you don't have to live like that. You ain't being raised like that no more. You're being raised to be an heir. H-E-I-R. Glory to God. Not an airhead, but an heir. One who has an inheritance. You have an inheritance of the promises of God, which are yes, and you hear me say it time and time again, but it's worthy of repeating. Yes and amen in Christ. We have this. What happens? Why don't we see it manifest? If we don't go for it, you know, it's like being at an ice cream place, your favorite place where you like to eat or dine or, you know, go have dessert. And you just sit there in that chair and you never order anything. Even the people will say, can I help you? No. Can I help you? No. Are you okay? Yes. But you never place an order. They're not going to read your mind. Oh, you like strawberry with a cherry on top and some whipped cream. Oh, you like Rocky Road. You know, you come in there and you place your order. This is 2 + 2 = 4, but it's making a point. In the world, we're conditioned to just accept things as they are. But in the kingdom, we don't have to accept them as they are anymore. Hallelujah. In the kingdom, we learn how to fight. We fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. And if with God, this is our God. We learned this from the Bible. If with God, one day is as what? And 1,000 days is as what? You can't be messed up by time. We live in a fast-paced society. Everything comes quickly. We want it to come quickly. Nobody wants to wait. Nobody wants to be patient. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to have to endure hardships. Talk to the military men and women who serve and ask them about hardship. Talk to a farmer who depends upon the crops that he raises for his livelihood. And the work that has to be, or that he has to get involved in, or she, in order to produce that harvest. It requires a lot of them, out of them. It requires a lot of inconvenience. For many of us, if the weather's not right outside, I'll just stay home. Scratch what needs to be done, I'm just staying at home. Scratch what extra I could get done by going out, I'll just stay home. We're conditioned by the patterns, if you will. That's a good place to go to. Ephesians chapter 2. We're coming back to Isaiah. When you get to Ephesians chapter 2, say amen. I got one amen. I got two or three more amens. I got a few more amens. I got another amen. I take it everybody else is there. All right. Cheaters. I have my thing with me too today. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened or made alive. Now, he's speaking to the Ephesians who are believers who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They are now believers. They are now followers of Christ. They are what we call Christians. You can read more about them in the book of Acts. You can read about how Paul had cast some devils. He was going around casting devils out, and there were these brothers who were itinerant Jews, and they wanted to do the same thing. And so they said, we cast you out by the Jesus whom Paul preaches and all. And so the devil comes out, and he manifests, and he says, well, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Isn't that something that devils recognize? They recognize God. They recognize Jesus as God, God the Son. They recognize those who belong to Jesus. And then they recognize those that do not belong to Jesus. As Peter says, and I echo those words, make your calling and election sure. Do not play around with your salvation. Know that you're in the kingdom and the kingdom is in you. I'm not saying that to make you question your salvation, but what I am saying is you make sure. Don't just settle for just barely getting in. Get all the way in and get wet. Enjoy everything that the kingdom has to offer. Amen? So the reason I preface that is because he says, and you hath he quickened, which means before this, they were dead. And before this, we were dead. We were dead, and before what? Before Jesus, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But God has quickened us and made us alive to him. And so being alive to God is dead to sin and dead to the things of the world. It's something that happens, but it's something that must be worked out too. The working out is in knowing that this is true, now living, governing, regulating our lives by the truth. It's easier said than done, but it must be done. Once it's done, it's easier said than done. I hope you got what I just said. I'm not trying to play on words, but once you start to master the walk that Jesus has called us to, then the old life is more difficult to do than the new life that you have in Christ. Instead of saying, it's just too hard serving Jesus, it's like, it's just too hard to walk in the flesh. Oh, come on, give me a break. No, see, we've been conditioned by the world. And the world makes us think it's impossible to serve God the way God wants him to be served. The world makes us think that it's weird. Oh, you're religious. Oh, we don't want to hear, you know, you're just a religious person. And, you know, y'all just a bunch of hypocrites anyways. They're the biggest hypocrites that there are. At least we're on the path where we can get things right. And so Paul goes on and he says, you hath he quickened or made alive, which means we once were dead. dead in trespasses and sins. Now Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. He took that upon himself so that we could come alive to God. He shed his precious blood so that we could be redeemed from our sins and made alive to God. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. That word course means the pattern, the ways, if you will, the influence, if you will, of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You don't see the spirit, but you see the evidence and the manifestations of the spirit. Anytime we find ourselves doing contrary to God's will, we are operating according to the prince of the power of the air. He's known as the prince of this world, although he doesn't own it. He's known as the prince of the power of the air. He resides in the air, if you will. He resides in the heavenly places, if you will. He resides in the unseen realms. He resides where power truly comes from. Everything in the natural that is visible to see was conceived and brought forth by that which is in the realm of the spirit. The realm of the spirit is more powerful than the natural. The realm of the spirit is more real than the natural. Everything in the natural was made by that in the realm of the spirit. Therefore, the realm of the spirit is more powerful than the realm of the natural. If we operate and function only in the natural, we stand no chance against the devil. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that worketh in the sons of disobedience. Why do people disobey God? Because they have an unclean spirit operating, dominating, influencing them. He influences even through the airwaves. He influences through television. He influences through what was that? Radio, internet. Thank you, Brother Enzo. He influences through those means in order to shape and mold and fashion our lives. You try and raise up a child in the house, and all of a sudden you see them cutting up. See, in the older days, back in the good old days, if you went over to somebody else's house and your behavior changed when you came back home, Mama was there to straighten you out, because you went and you took on somebody else's influences. Their influences influenced you to do like they did. Well, they do like this over there, but this is here. And see, this is the way the church of the living God has to be. But this is how it's done here, not just inside these four walls, but within this shell, this body, this house, if you will. We can go and we can be influenced by the prince of the power of the air, spirits of disobedience that we can't even see, but we could see the manifestations of them. They do it through television. They do it through movies. They do it through the internet. They do it on these smart. Listen, the most sanctified this phone will ever get is when it's in the hands of a believer. Otherwise, it's used for anything and everything. Some of the worst things that go on in society are fed by this. Hours people spend watching pornographic material, sending it all over the world. Men, women engaged in pornography, hours on end, feeding their minds, not understanding that the spirit of disobedience is operating in them. It's the same spirit that rules the world. He has power over the earthly. This is why when you get born again, you get born of the spirit. You get some power back. You get some status back. You get some spiritual clout back. Now you get it, but it's up to you to use it and exercise it. If you don't see things from God's perspective, you'll be lost even though you're found. blind even though you see, lame even though you walk, mute even though you speak. Because it will still be governed by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that works in the sons of disobedience. But he says, but you've been quickened and you've been made alive to God. Hallelujah. And in being made alive to God, you now have everything restored back to you that we originally had in Adam. It goes all the way back to the garden. You go from one garden to another garden. In the Garden of Eden, man fell, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, man succeeded and gave power back to mankind, put us in the position, right position with God. The blood will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Why do I say that? Because it's the blood that made it possible. It's the shedding of one's blood. Hallelujah. The blood is so powerful that it's the same Lamb of God. You can stand to your feet. It's the same Lamb of God for every person on this people planet called Earth. In other words, you don't have to go get a lamb, and then I go get a lamb, and then you go get a lamb, and then everybody goes and gets a lamb, and then we all bring our lambs before God and offer it up as a sacrifice and say, Lamb, you're innocent, but I'm going to apply my sins on you, which means you have to lose your life because my sins bring about death. And since I'm still living, you have to die. No, same lamb, Jesus. For the entire world. What he did for one, he's able to do for all. The same Jesus that saved Peter is the same Jesus that saved you and I. What he was able to do through Peter, James, John, and Matthew, and the others, he's well able to do through you and I. The very promises that they inherited are the same promises we inherit now. Nothing is impossible for us. Whatever Jesus said to them, he's saying to us, the blood makes it all possible. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace is upon him. Peace! Do you know what that is? First of all, it's peace with God. Why do I need peace with God? Man, God, we cool. You ain't cool if Jesus is not the intercessor, the mediator, if you will. Nothing's cool without Jesus. It's only in and through him that we can now have peace with God. Otherwise, there's hostility. Well, I ain't mad with God. Your feelings and emotions may not be mad with them right now, but let something happen. Among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were once under the power, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Amplified says it like this: in which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. No, things change when we receive Jesus. Everything goes in a whole new different direction, and we don't settle unless it's going in that direction. Even if you have to go the path alone, walk that path boldly, confidently, courageously, and you'll find that there are many others on that path along with you. You never have to endure it alone. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Father, we thank you and give you praise and glory. We bless your wonderful name. I thank you for the sons and daughters that are here in this place. I thank you for those that may be watching live stream. I give them an opportunity to receive the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the hope of glory. If you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you walked away from him and you know that you need to be restored, I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here in the house and you need to make things right with Jesus, I give you that opportunity as well. We don't want anyone to assume or anyone to be in a place that God will not have them to be. We want everyone to be right where God would have you to be in him. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's the best life. It's the blessed life. It's a wonderful life. You'll never regret the decision. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. All you have to do is be sincere in your heart. If you're sincere in your heart when you pray these words, I guarantee you, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Spirit of the living God will come to invade and live in your body and lead you in the path of righteousness for God's great name's sake. Repeat this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. According to your word and according to my faith, I am now saved. Lord Jesus, I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. Cause me to be a new creation. Take old things away, old habits. Break every pattern of addiction. Everything that separates me from you, remove it as far as the east is from the west. And I'll give you praise all the days of my life. And I thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer and you were sincere in your heart, the Lord is right there with you. You probably feel his presence. May the Lord continue to increase in your life and lead you to the place that he would have you to go to be planted. But they that are planted of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. You got to get in a house of fellowship where you can fellowship on a regular basis and be fed the word of God. Plug in with the saints and fulfill the hope of God's calling. We love you. We thank God for you. Now receive the blessing. Father, we thank you right now and release the power of your blessing upon your sons and daughters that are in this house. And I declare that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The Lord put his name on you that he may bless you, that you enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. All right, greet one another in the name of the Lord. Greet that person next to you. Make sure you greet our guests. We thank you for coming out. We bless you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen.